Hello and welcome to Indie Business Radio for May 4th, 2009. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Today's show is brought to you by our Indie Business Facebook group, where there are lots of photo galleries of you and your products, plus links to many of the shows I've brought you over the years right here on Indie Business Radio. To join us, just log on to Facebook and search on Indie Business in the upper right-hand corner, or you can just go to companies.to/Facebook, and we'll check you out there. You know, all the way back in 2005, Google reported indexing 8,058,044,651 web pages on the Internet. Today, I'm sure that number has increased by at least a billion. With all these websites and counting, is it even possible to launch a business today and even be found, or to continue to grow and expand an existing business when the competition is growing at such a rapid rate? Our guest today says that it is possible, and she's here to tell us a little bit about it and her new book. Her name is Heather Lutze, and she is a nationally recognized internet marketing speaker and consultant on search engine strategies. She's the author of the new book, The Findability Formula, the easy, non-technical approach to search engine marketing. Sounds like it was written just for me. She's joining us today from her offices in Colorado. Welcome to Indie Business Radio, Heather.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
If you're listening to the show at IndieBusinessRadio.com, you can join the chat by clicking on the link at the homepage. And if you're already in the chat room, welcome. Feel free to post your questions and comments for Heather and me. And you can also Twitter the show by following the instructions at the top of the page. Please feel free to share Heather's insights and tips with your Twitter family throughout the show using the Indie Radio hashtag. Well, we're going to get right down to business here and just kind of introduce the topic here. We're going to be talking about search engine marketing today. So, Heather, what is search engine marketing?
Search engine marketing, and in its finest definition, would be connecting with users or searchers on a search engine when they're looking to buy or get information.
Okay.
And you are merely aligning your website to speak to them when they're searching.
And I read this quote somewhere in your book or maybe at your website, I'm not sure which, and I thought it was kind of a good way to pinpoint this topic. It says, and I'm quoting, to own, and own is capitalized, to own the pages, parentheses, search results, close parentheses, for certain highly targeted, specific, and effective search terms through a combination of paid and organic search, working together to exponentially multiply your results. That's kind of the goal here, is to own the pages for certain search results. So my question is, when you're talking about owning those pages, when there's so many massive amounts of websites, many of them, many of them in your field, in our field, how is it possible to strategize to the point where you actually own, what you need to in order to stand out in the crowd?
Right. In chapter one of the book, which is called The Basics, we talk about how people often aren't able to connect with a valuable search experience with their prospects. Mm. And I think oftentimes it's a keyword. It's about really identifying the perfect set of keywords that speaks to who you are and what you do as a company and aligns you on that search result page. So when they see you there, either in a paid ad, an organic ad, or a social media marketing ad, maybe a Twitter post is displaying there, or a YouTube video is displaying there, you, for all intents and purposes, exponentially increase your findability because you are three times on that page. And
let's talk about what happens when I'm a new business, I've started a website,
right,
and I want, you know, people obviously to find me. Now, obviously, I could buy an ad on the side of a bus, but we're talking about small businesses here, so
right.
You're saying that it's the words that I choose at my website that make it easy for people to find me?
Yeah, so there's a number of tools that we talk about in the book. I mean, chapter three really talks about what we lovingly call path to purchase. Now, that's not a new term by any means, but when you think about the internet path to purchase, there are three distinctive stages that users go through. And if you think about maybe your own habits when something's broken in your house or you have a frustration or a pain factor that you're trying to solve, when you sit down at the search engine, especially just the blank box on the Google.com screen,
right,
you have to start entering keywords. And oftentimes, maybe your television broke that morning, and you have maybe the Super Bowls in a couple weeks, and you're freaking out, and you have a bunch of people coming to your house for the game. You may start with a term like television, but you get a very, very poor user experience because you get such junk displayed back to you.
Right.
So your natural habit pattern will be to keep adding search terms onto that string, the longer or search keyword phrase you're entering into the search engine. The more keyword searches, the more keywords you enter into that search phrase, the better results that get displayed back to you.
I see. So when we're talking about the three stages of Internet path to purchase, is stage one the point where the person types in television?
Yes. So the path to purchase, stage one would be what we call informational research terms, meaning they don't know who any of the major players are. They've just gone in and typed in a one or two keyword string to start the process. Who are the key retailers? What are the major criteria in televisions? Who are the manufacturers? What are the price points? They don't know any of that yet. They're purely in research mode, and that's what we call informational stage of the path to purchase. So the second stage of that would be what we call shopping keywords. So now maybe I type in Sony plasma television, Sony JVC television, and maybe I went to work and talked to a bunch of buddies, and they all have Sony plasmas. So you're like, okay, that's the TV I want to get. So you go back, and then you enter that into the search engine, and now you're farther down that buying cycle. And then ultimately, you would be displayed when they're ready to buy as well. So that might look like 72-inch plasma television in Denver.
Huh?
You know, that's a keyword, what we call a purchasing keyword. And a purchasing keyword is their credit card's out on the table, and they are ready to take that decisive action. The biggest challenge in search engine marketing, and especially in paid search, because you're paying for every click, is when do I want to insert myself into that path to purchase, into that consideration process? Where's the best bang for my buck in that path? And a lot of business owners are very disconnected with how people search for their products versus what we call ego keywords, or ways in which they see themselves being found.
That is fascinating. I love those three stages. Very informative. Informational research, then shopping keywords, and then purchasing keywords. So they're going from broad, hoping that they can find something quickly and easily, and then they just end up having to narrow it down.
Exactly. And we go into this, in Chapter 3 of the book, we go into this in great detail, because I feel like this is the single biggest mistake happening in search engine marketing right now. I spent the first six chapters of my book on this because, you know, Google makes it incredibly easy to spend your money. I love Google. They have a great interface, very intuitive tools. But if you're not connected with how people are searching for your products, then you often will go with very informational terms. Informational terms are very expensive and very high search volume. What if I really thought I could bid on a term like television by itself? Every single search phrase or every single search that happens on Google that has television in it, you would potentially display until your money was out that day.
Right.
So what happens is that users get burned very quickly, and then they're like, they kind of write off the medium as, that's just not for me. I wasted all this money. I had a bad experience. I got poor advice. They jumped right in and started doing it right away and had really poor results.
Mm-hmm. But Heather, you called something ego.
Uh-huh.
Tell us a little bit about that, because you know I think a lot of people do that. They think that what's in their brand name or what's in their a line of their products or whatever is so informative and key that people are actually going to search on that. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Sure. We use a tool that we talk about in the book called the External Keyword Tool. Now, there's a bunch of different tools in the book. We have four or five profiled in there. But the one that I probably use the most is absolutely free. It's like looking under the hood of Google search engine, and it's called the External Keyword Tool. And if you just go in, type Google Keyword Tool or External Keyword Tool into Google, it's the very first search result that pops up. I'd give you the URL, but it's ridiculously long. So if I type in indie business, and I, or Indie Business Radio, and I hit search in this tool, I can see that people search for this radio show 480 times on average per month.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as an ego term, I might think that my business is so successful that, of course, everyone only searches under my name. And what happens is it negates anyone who maybe hasn't had the fortunate opportunity to hear your show.
Okay.
So what happens is that you spend all your time trying to get exposure under very obvious terms like your name, mm-hmm. The host names, things like that, that are probably already known to people who are regular listeners to your show.
Mm-hmm.
So what if I went in and actually did, like, what would be a good keyword, Donna, that you think might be, like, that would be maybe not your name, but a business radio show maybe, or business internet radio show?
Right, startup, small business.
Okay, great. Startup, small business. So anyone who is getting ready to start up a business and needs help, right, they need advice ongoing that you can provide to them.
Mm-hmm.
So just to give you an idea, startup, small business, which is a nice, what we call, that would be in our path to purchase, that would probably be somewhere between a shopping and purchasing keyword. Not
yeah.
quite long enough to be purchasing, but pretty qualified. So if I look at startup, small business,
mm-hmm.
22,200 searches last month.
Right, that's a lot.
So do you see how if you were stuck on your ego keywords of your own name,
right.
or maybe something that was radio show, very
right.
high volume, very nonspecific, you could easily get trapped in those ego keywords because you think that if I saw my listing in Google, number one under that keyword, I would physically get a rush, right? I would get really excited to see myself there. And I hear time and time again clients are, I would love to see myself under mortgage or mortgage loan, when they really only do mortgage refinance for bad credit.
That is an excellent tool that you shared there. I can see how valuable that is for anybody, no matter what your business is. And you can check these tools regularly. How often are they updated? Is this an hourly update thing that Google does?
This is updated every 30 days. So you can see not only last month's search volume, but you can also see a trending over the last 12 months.
Excellent.
Yeah, and these kinds of tools, we have about $110 in coupons for these same exact tools in the book. So it's I went out and really asked all these keyword tools to, you know, especially the ones that were, I mean, Google's not the only tool. There's a lot of other tools out there, and we got some really great free trials. So, again, this is only Google search volume. There's lots of other searches on Yahoo and Ask and MSN, and
mm-hmm.
there's more players than just Google. So, but what these kinds of tools get you reconnected with how searchers are behaving
right.
online and
right.
where is it you need to start connecting with them.
So, and this is where the research comes in. Your book talks a lot about doing the research. So the first stage of research mm-hmm. where this issue is concerned is to find out what terms people are using to find the kinds of products or services you sell.
Exactly, because that's going to dictate what you do in organic optimization of your site.
Mm-hmm.
It should also dictate how you Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
So what if I Twittered with help for startup small business?
Mm-hmm.
And someone goes in and searches on Twitter for small business help. They're looking for tweets on people who are experts in small business.
Right.
There you are.
Right.
Do you see how this centralized focus and the foundation of your search marketing campaign to having this keyword list, and I sometimes just have 5 or 6 keywords, and I put a sticky note, I put them right on my monitor, and those are my keywords for that week. And I focus all my Twitters, all my blog posts, all of my anything that I'm out there socially talking about how I'm an expert in that field, I'm using those keywords in my discourse on the Internet
That's okay. For any business just getting started,
yeah.
what you've got to do is, of course, use the tools, one of which you just suggested, but also mm-hmm. you can go in on various different search engines and search yourself, pretending like you're a potential customer.
Of course.
Okay, and then also, so let's say, you know, nowadays it's sort of passé to just have an e-commerce website. You have to have a blog, too.
That's right.
Well, you don't have to, but certainly it
right.
does, and things a lot, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
So how do those two things go together? Do you use different keywords, the same keywords? I mean, the obvious goal, ultimately, is to increase your sales and pull people into your sales funnel. But are there different strategies that apply, whether it's an e-commerce site or a blog? And we've got to take a break. I'm going to leave that question there. We're going to come right back to Indie Business Radio as soon as we take this break. Don't touch that mouse. Heather's going to answer that question. We'll be right back.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. We're talking today with Heather Lutze, the author of The Findability Formula, the easy, non-technical approach to search engine marketing, and she's giving us some fantastic tips today. Before we took our break, we had this question. We've talked a little bit about using keywords in websites, so we want to talk a little bit about how to marry this with your blog, because most everyone has a blog to complement their website, at least one these days. So, Heather, give us your best tips on you know, doing some complementary keyword analysis when we have a website and a blog.
Absolutely. So I think a lot of people are lost when it comes to blogging. How do I do that purposefully to really connect with customers?
Right.
And so if we keep our, remember, we have a keyword focus now. We've done our research. We've used this external keyword tool or any of the other tools that are featured in the book. So we know now that maybe our top 5 or 10 keywords we're really going to go after. So I sit down on my blog. I title my blog based on one of those high-volume, high-searched keywords, preferably something at least 3 keywords in length, so we get them right in that shopping purchasing mode. So I just spoke at a Chamber of Commerce here locally, and a week prior to that event, we started looking at keywords that were highly searched in the local Denver area.
Right.
And one of the keywords that really rose to the top was Marketing Seminar Denver. So I'm like, all right, I can, you know, we can go after that keyword. Why don't we prove that we do what we say we do? So we blogged. So at the title of the blog, we put Marketing Seminar Denver, Heather Lutze, and then we put the title Speaks at Chamber of Commerce Meeting, and then all the pertinent details.
Yeah, Heather, tell me one more time, how did you narrow down those words to use? I mean, aside from your name and stuff.
Right. What we did is we went to the Google external keyword tool that I told you about, and we typed in Marketing Seminar in Denver to see how people were searching. Is it Internet Marketing Seminar? Is it just seminar? Is it workshop? Is it training? I mean, there are so many nuances to how people search. And, like, again, you see it one way, your searcher sees it another. So
right.
it's not about how I want to be found. It's about how my searcher expects to find me.
Good point.
So Marketing Seminar Denver, if you Google that, we are number one. My pay-per-click podcast posts at number one and number two on that page.
Now, from a practical perspective, what does it mean that you're the only person with a marketing seminar in Denver, or you're the only one who had the sense enough to focus on how to title it so it was up in the search ranking?
I think that we have a very strategic approach that Google acknowledges and rewards us for.
Okay.
So if you look under Marketing Seminar Denver, you'll see our podcast is 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
We've even been playing, believe it or not, with Craigslist postings. So we did a Craigslist post with that right at the front of the title, Marketing Seminar Denver, and that's number 3.
Excellent.
And then our LinkedIn profile is about halfway down the page as well for that event. So remember how we talked about, you know, dominating that keyword and in ways that are meaningful?
Mm-hmm.
This is meaningful. We turned people away from that session. We had 100 people that could fit in that room, and I think we were probably at 115 before we turned them away.
So what you're saying, too, is that you drew not only people that you knew, like people who were already your Twitter followers or people who already subscribed to your blog and know what you're doing, but you drew even more people because you were consistent about certain keywords across these different platforms.
Exactly. And being so focused and literally focused on a small group of keywords that you consistently blog on, tweet about, update in your LinkedIn profiles, put on your Facebook and MySpace pages, you know, the exponential increase in your visibility and your findability for people who may or may not know about who you are is tremendous.
So anybody can really follow that formula that you just described. You can use that Google external search form that you talked about, and we can also use your book to find out where the other ones are for other search engines, right?
Right. Findabilityformula.com has a comprehensive list of every tool that's in the book.
Excellent.
So I know right now we don't want to just say, oh, go, you know, we'd love for you to buy the book, of course, but I wanted to have a resource by which people could go to and get these tools right away. So by all means, go to findabilityformula.com. You'll see a huge list of resources. Use them, and, you know, we need all the help we can get right now in being strategic.
Absolutely.
And more clever than our competitors. And I think those two steps will make all the difference in you leveraging search visibility for no expense whatsoever.
Well, and you know, Heather, it doesn't sound like from what you're describing, this is terribly difficult, but it sounds massively time-consuming. How do you find help with this if you need it?
Well, I think that it can be time-consuming if you don't know how to play the game. So search engine marketing has notoriously been sold. Love my fellow comrade in arms in my search engine marketing field, but a big card that we often have played in the past was that this is way too difficult for you to understand. Just hire us and we'll do it for you. And I think those days are kind of starting to shake out a little bit in that there are a portion of the business owners who are savvy enough to do this themselves.
Right.
And a portion that will, at the end of the day, not have enough time and have to hire out.
Right.
We do this as a consulting business, but I wrote the book for the other 50% who truly either can afford it and they need to do it themselves, or they need to be able to hold their search marketing vendors accountable for the work they're doing. And I think you're at some point as a business website owner, you have to make that decision. You have to choose. You can't do everything.
Right.
You know, and I think having a singular keyword focus is going to save you a tremendous amount of time because you're not going after every possible keyword that's running around in your head. You've now come to a point where you know how you need to be found.
And Heather, what are some of the things you recommend people consider when they're thinking about choosing keywords for ad placement?
I think that the path to purchase is definitely one way to kind of map that out and start looking at how that looks in your world. Mm-hmm. Writing down your ego keywords, how do you think you need to be found? Get those kind of on the table right away so that you can really start disconnecting from that. The more connected you get with your prospects through search, the better and more fruitful your website will start performing for you.
Right.
And the more meaningful social marketing will become. If I hear Twitter one more time on a radio station, a television, you know, I'm going a little crazy because no one's talking about how to use those tools in a way that's meaningful to our bottom line as business owners.
And so you're connecting it not just with what's at your blog or what's at your website, but all of the social media spaces that you're using need to be logically connected in this way.
Of course. I mean, you have to be the obvious expert under that keyword, and you need to prove it. A gentleman who also is a speaker with in my same field, his name's Ford Sakes, and Ford Sakes talks about something called social proof.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when you look at a search results page in Google, as far as you're concerned, that is all the social proof you need to who
right.
you are going to buy from. Your job as a business owner is to provide that social proof on the search results that you are the go-to obvious expert under that keyword.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Once we get them to our website, then the website does the rest of the work. And hopefully, you know, that's another radio show.
Yeah. That's right. So is it possible then to structure this without having to buy an ad at all?
Of course. I mean, I'm a huge proponent of pay-per-click. Love it. Been doing it forever. The book is really about findability. It's not necessarily about pay-per-click.
Well, yeah. I mean, a lot of people think of findability as the same thing as buying an ad and getting found.
No, and that's the thing. It's about being present
right.
under a meaningful keyword when that searcher is ready to take action.
So this is, this is a different mindset for a lot of small business owners who come into the market feeling as if they can't afford a search engine marketing expert. They can't find anyone to tell them what exactly to do or what steps to take. And, you know, advertising looks like the most logical way to go. So you're saying that obviously it's an option, but using the tools that you're describing, you don't really have to think about that first. Because, and you know, whether you buy an ad or not, you've still got to do the stuff you're talking about.
If you want to think of it almost like, I mean, would you really buy a huge marketing campaign without doing either a focus group or some market research, maybe some demographic information? Why would it be any different in internet marketing or search engine marketing? It shouldn't be.
Exactly.
And I think that, unfortunately, the tools they provide to us in this space are very easy to use.
Mm-hmm. They are.
That doesn't mean they work if you don't have good strategy behind them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really a huge mistake right now.
So it's even more important for small businesses and startups to really have a keen understanding, a very focused understanding of who their customers are and exactly what segment of the market they're serving.
Exactly. And so a great example, we work with this wonderful stained glass company here in Denver called Scottish Stained Glass. And Scottish Stained Glass had no findability. I mean, if we were looking at a ranking, you know, they would be just under their name. And they felt like that was good enough.
Right.
And when we went in and used the keyword tool, we noticed that stained glass window Denver was one of their top search terms. And so we optimized all of their social media profiles, and now their LinkedIn profile holds a spot for them on that page under stained glass window Denver.
Excellent.
Now, what greater social proof could you have than a LinkedIn profile? And you go there, there's all these recommendations from happy customers. There's events they're going to be at, like the Home and Garden Show. You know, that's a very different user experience than going to your website.
And it seems so obvious. It's like, you know, Stained Glass Window Denver. This is a Denver-based company that sells stained glass.
Exactly. And that's how people, based on the keyword tool, told me. So I just followed what it told me, optimized the LinkedIn profile under Stained Glass Window Denver, Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And just a little tip I wanted to give your listeners is that when you go in and optimize your LinkedIn profile, your last name is not your last name. Your last name is, so for me it would be Lutzi-internet-marketing-speaker. So what happens is that by putting that keyword with my last name, with a dash in between, Google then spiders my LinkedIn profile, says, hey, there's a keyword there, and it puts you under that keyword.
Right.
And
right.
So a lot of people don't really think about kind of little tips and tricks. By all means, look at my LinkedIn profile if you want to. Copy anything you want. It's the wonderful nature of the Internet. copy away. It's linkedin.com/HeatherLutzi.
Excellent. We'll definitely take a look at that. We're going to our final break, and we're going to come back and talk some more with Internet marketing expert and the findability formula author, Heather Lutzi. We'll be right back. This is Indie Business Radio.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. I'm Donna Maria. We're talking with author Heather Lutzi. Her new book, The Findability Formula, is such a great tool for helping you maximize the keywords at your website that get you found on the Internet. And we've been having such a great discussion. We have a question from Beth Schisler from the chat room, Heather. Her question is, does having Facebook, Twitter, and MySpace accounts to supplement our website qualify as links in Google's robot eyes?
Interesting question, and it's kind of a yes and no, I hate to say. Links that you use, and we were just talking about this on a webinar I was on, the links that you use on Twitter are actually shortened with something called tiny URL. So a lot of times URLs that you post inside a Twitter post are shortened so that it's something that will fit in 140 characters. And those are they say that there's kind of different conversations about this, but they say they're nofollow. And sometimes they are and sometimes they aren't. There hasn't been a real clear designation. Again, it's about putting keywords in your Twitter posts, not so much the link that you put in the tweets. So I don't know that Twitter will actually give you link juice, we lovingly call it, for the link you're putting in that Twitter post. But the bottom line is, if that tweet has your keyword in it, the tweet will rank, and Google will then show that tweet with the URL in the search results.
Mm-hmm.
So regardless of whether Twitter is giving you link juice back to your website, remember, it's about your findability. It's about being there when customers are searching for you. They see that keyword. You're the expert. They see it in Google. They click on the link.
Excellent.
So it's more about keywords, honestly, than it is about the URL that you're putting in your Twitters.
All about the keywords. And
yes,
the importance of objectifying your business. That's so difficult for small business owners to do.
It is. I mean, it's hard to kind of take yourself out of that driver's seat for a moment and really see your prospect through search and internet search kind of in a more naked way. It's kind of painful. We've walked clients through this process, and, you know, sometimes it gets a little heated because they insist. I had a poet who wrote this fabulous book. He insisted that people were searching under inspirational allegory.
Oh, you...
It was a bee book. It was this adorable little book about inspirational life stories. And I'm like, look, it's a poetry book. It's an inspirational book. It's not an inspirational allegory. So,
yeah,
again, he couldn't separate himself from how he wanted to be found with how people needed to connect with his wonderful book.
And, you know, what's fascinating, though, is what you're describing. Let's go back to your marketing seminar example that you used for yours.
Yeah.
How many people are delivering marketing seminars across the country? The differentiation between what you were using, because it was so general, and what other people must have been using was the word Denver.
Denver, yeah. We often say here, and a lot of other search marketing say this, so I don't want to take credit for this, but they say think global, act local.
Yeah, because a lot of people think that if you have a website and, mm-hmm. and you really are, you know, you're marketing your products, you're selling in all 50 states, that, you know, the use of the local terms would be limiting, and you're saying that that's not necessarily so.
No, I mean, if you have a high-level term like marketing seminar, mm-hmm. and you know that it's really the viable walk-in audience is only in Denver, the surrounding cities,
right.
You could optimize for Denver and the surrounding cities with those keywords, and you're going to hit a number of really good targeted walk-ins.
Really?
It was interesting in that group. I kind of did an informal survey. I said, okay, how many of you saw my YouTube video? And I'd say six or seven people raise their hand. And I said, how many people saw my blog post? And then I had three or four people raise their hand. And I said, how many of you saw this event on Twitter? And I'd say 10 people raise their hand.
Wow.
You see how it the saturation of that group and how they heard about the event was different.
You have to be everywhere.
Well, everywhere may be a bit of an exaggeration, but you need to be strategically placed in Twitter. I mean, if you're going to kind of make a short list, blog first. That's really important that you blog
exactly.
with the keyword in the title. Secondarily, you tweet with those keywords. Finally, in your Facebook, in your MySpace, in your LinkedIn, you be mindful of those keywords when you're inside those spaces. Now, Facebook will not rank. It's a private portal. MySpace will, because it's a public portal. So you have to keep that in mind, too.
Yeah, when I said everywhere, I didn't mean that literally, but I want
yeah.
to think in the terms that you're describing, that your own little world needs to expand to certain outposts or satellites. I call them satellites sometimes,
right.
where you can be found. So, Heather, I'm really ready to roll up my sleeves here. What are some of the mistakes that we make, small business owners make, when it comes to getting this stuff done?
I think that the some of the biggest mistakes I've seen over my 10 years of doing this and having the same conversations over and over, which is a big reason why I wrote the book. I'm like, can you just read this book, please, and call me in a week? You know, because I'd had this conversation so many times, and it's painful for me to hear the same stories. First of all, decide how much time you're going to put into it. Oftentimes, I'll talk to business owners that say they spend all day on Twitter. And I'm like, is that really the best use of your time? Mm-hmm. Why don't you use it? You know, then we'll say, why don't you use a tool like TweetLater, you know, which will program all the tweets in for a whole month.
Right.
And you can get back to work. So, again, utilize your vendors in a way that's meaningful that you can afford. So that would be my first thing is time management. Be very careful about time management. And we have free webinars that address a lot of these issues on our website as well. You may want to consider doing that. Secondarily, stop, take a breath, and really do your upfront keyword research first. Before you redesign your site, before you start Twittering, before you start blogging, I mean, we want as business owners, we want to think that every time we take time away from our business and market, we want to do it meaningfully. So do that keyword research first, then go after a new site design or blogging or Twittering.
Right.
Those would be the two biggest mistakes I see. And remember, it's not just pay-per-click or SEO or social media marketing. It's all three of them to dominate a given keyword for your business. So when you're thinking strategically about search engine marketing for the coming year, it is all of them and how they own another spot on that search results page for your business, and that none of them are better or worse.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you have to pay your way in, and sometimes you can get there organically for free. But no matter by whatever means you have to get there, be there. And that's, I think, the big thing is like, oh, I don't want to do that pay-per-click stuff. What a waste. You know, I don't want to pay for every click. Look, if you're not there now and you have to pay to be there to get real business in a recession economy, maybe that's something you have to do until you get your other ducks lined up.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are the three.
Great, good things to avoid. We're to make sure we avoid those things. So
exactly.
Let's talk about landing pages for a second. A lot of people sometimes struggle with what their landing page should be, and I've read frequently from search engine experts and marketing experts that
yeah.
It should almost never be your home page.
And that's absolutely true. Chapter 11 of my book is called After the Click, and after the click is absolutely essential. So you put yourself there, right? You've gone to all this work to get yourself placed on the search engine results pages. Where are they going after they click? And that almost always is not your homepage.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, websites are notorious for being out of date, having brochure-style content with no specific call to action.
Yeah, and nothing going on.
Exactly. That's why social media is so hot.
Yeah.
People are sick and tired of websites that are stale and boring.
Yeah.
You know, they want to know that website is cutting edge, connected, and interesting.
Yeah.
And if you can't provide that, then we often recommend what's called a landing page. It's a one page that you build, maybe has a video on it, maybe has your Twitter post being displayed actively there so it looks like it's changing and propagating all the time. And then maybe you give them a free white paper. How to select the right search engine marketing company for your website.
Right.
Write a paper on all of the pitfalls that you see happening in your business and why maybe you're the best choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a whole progressive approach.
Mm-hmm.
We'll give you quotes from five other insurance companies, but we're pretty confident you're going to choose us. Fabulous, fabulous model. And the same thing comes with landing pages. Give them a free gift and make it valuable for them to do it. And not only do you start engaging in a relationship with them, you also start maybe a mailing list program for them where you start kind of sending them an email every so often that they can opt into. But you've given them a gift. I mean, users, when they come to your website, are only thinking one thing. What's in it for me?
Yeah.
And all you're thinking about is, how can I make them buy?
Right.
You've got to get rid of that. You've got to get rid of that. And you have to say, if I'm going to push somebody to my website, what am I going to give them of value?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a video to watch? Is there a white paper to download? Are there a blog I can read? Every time they come back to your website, you should have a meaningful action or engagement on that page. When I did training for Yahoo Search Marketing, we used to always talk about this, getting them to say yes to your page. And how do I get them to say yes on that page every time they come back? And that may not be one visit, by the way. That may be multiple visits over a course of time before they take that action.
It's usually not one visit, right, Heather?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the first time I come, I may watch your video and bookmark you. The second time I come, I may subscribe to your newsletter and download your white paper. And the third time I come back, now I've really gone through that path to purchase process. And now I'm going to fill out the form and say, yes, call me for a consultation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a hard thing for people to get their head around is how many times do I really need to be seen
right.
in order to get a quality response from a searcher?
Very good. Excellent advice. So, Heather, let me ask you this now. We've got just a little bit of time left. I'm wondering if you could share, just in the last few minutes that we have here, how we can go about choosing a reasonably priced, affordable, quality expert to help us do this stuff.
There's a number of different models out there on how you provide your services. We do a number. We have kind of a grid of pricing that we offer from startups, do-it-yourselves, all the way to the full optimization and social media marketing where we do the whole bit. So you need to find a search engine marketing company, A, that has great references. Check their work. Make sure they have happy clients. Make sure they're ranking under keywords already.
Right.
I mean, if you don't see them there, then they're not doing their own work. I mean, that's not a good sign. You should see them everywhere in that space, first of all, that you're looking for. And secondarily, I think that you should get real about time and cost. If your billable rate is $250 an hour, you also have to assign a certain amount of value to hiring a vendor at what cost. And so we often run a model with clients where we say, okay, if we increased your conversion rate by 5%, and each of those, you know, conversions was worth X amount of dollars, you have to run those same numbers for your own business and say, what's my time worth?
Mm-hmm.
And then back that into a vendor that matches that one-to-one. So you're
right.
you're not upside down. You pay all this money to a search marketing vendor, but you have to sell a million widgets in order to get, you know, return on investment dollar from that engagement with them. And right now, especially, you know, with the economy being so tough, maybe a lot of people listening to your program will choose to do this themselves, and that's really what the book is all about. But you will reach a saturation point where you do need help.
Mm-hmm.
But start off, you know, do the heavy lifting up front yourself. That's great. And then, but come to a decision when you're going to hand it over.
Right.
And what you need from that search vendor.
Right.
And I think you're and we have a whole chapter, actually, in the book about hiring help.
Right, because I'm guessing that once you delve into it, and as you say, do some of the heavy lifting on the front end yourself, and
yeah.
at least you understand it, which you should anyway, even if you hire someone else, you understand certain things about it, then
right.
you have a better idea of the time and the energy that's involved, and you can get a quote, and you can ask the right questions when
right.
the time comes for you to hire someone.
Exactly. I mean, if you have, you know, 15 keywords, and you start getting visibility under those keywords, that's going to open up more business, more opportunity, bigger bottom-line profits. And then you have to back out, how much is my time worth? Am I going to do this myself? Do I have someone in-house who can do it for me? Or do I really need to go to an agency?
Well, and this is something that no matter where you are in your business, whether you're just now starting or you've been in business a while, we can conclude this show, and everybody listening can go to that Google external search tool, do some searching, and if by the end of the day, certain keywords can be added to 3 or 4 of your different web presences that may just make a difference by tomorrow morning.
Exactly, and be singularly focused on one keyword string every time you blog post or every
okay.
time you Twitter, and that will give you instant results. You will be amazed how quickly you'll see that start to penetrate the search engine results. Once you feel that excitement, you'll then know that maybe I can reallocate dollars to search because I know it's really going to be meaningful for my company.
Right, and you can make it even better. And lovely that we can make progress using a cut-and-paste mechanism, too.
Absolutely.
That's
you
perfect.
Bet.
Well, listen, Heather, we've come to the end of our time together, unfortunately and unbelievably. Tell us where we can go to find out more about you and your seminars and your workshops and books and everything.
Well, we have two sites primarily. The first site would be for the book, and that has all the tools and resources on it, which is findabilityformula.com. And on there, you'll see a link for consulting. So you can get to our consulting site, which has all of our free webinars on it. We're having one today, Mountain Standard Time, at 1:30 p.m. That's on Facebook versus MySpace. So we have free webinars on a regular basis. Lutze Consulting, L-U-T-Z-E, consulting.com, is, of course, the core consulting business that I run.
Excellent. And we can also find you on Twitter?
Of course. Of course. If you go to search.twitter.com, type in Internet Marketing Speaker or Marketing Speaker, I'm all over the place.
Oh, wow. That's great. Okay, so this has been some really, really good nuggets of information that anybody can use no matter what your business is. Head on over to that great search tool at Google that she told us about at the beginning of the show. What was it again, Heather?
The External Keyword Tool, or the Google Keyword Tool.
Excellent. Just go to Google, type in External Keyword Tool, and just get started today putting some of this great information to work for you. I'm confident that once you get started, you'll just see it work a little bit at a time, and then you'll just begin to reap the benefits and watch it snowball for you. Heather, thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us today.
Thank you so much for having me, and I really encourage everyone to find out find their findability. It will be a great, great use of your time.
Find your findability. Well, we are going to do that right here at Indie Business Radio. I've got lots of great shows coming up, but I'm going to be traveling next week, so there will be no show on May the 11th. I will be back on the 18th. I'll be really excited to check in with you then with another great guest to help you build your business. I'll see you on May 18th. In the meantime, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.